This episode is brought to you by Gin & Co., author website design specialists. If you want a beautiful and functional website to promote your books and brand, reach out to Gin today. His work includes tailored, expertly designed professional author websites. I finally have a website I'm proud to share. And we've got a special offer for Words and Nerds listeners. Reach out today and get a free domain name and website hosting for the first year. You can get their website essentials package, includes domain name, website hosting, backup and security, free for the first year with any website purchase. This is valued at $330 a year. Choose a website designed to bring your author brand to life. You can find more details about this special offer at ginand.co/wordsandnerds. Welcome to the 2024 series of the Words and Nerds podcast. I'm Danny B, author, publisher, and your podcast host. With over 1 million plays, thanks to you, listeners, readers, writers, creatives, teachers, librarians, and book lovers, thank you for coming along for the journey where we bring you relaxed and real conversations about writing and creativity. If you love an episode, you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram or Facebook at Danny V Words and Nerds Podcast. Or you can check out my brand new website designed by Gin & Co. at dannyv.com.au. Thank you for listening to the Words and Nerds Podcast. Danny V here, and this is episode 4 of writing my first junior fiction novel. Thank you for listening to this. When I first started recording this, you know, monologue, I thought, I'm not sure if anyone's going to listen, but I feel like it's something that I would have wanted when I was starting out. I'm still starting out, but you know what I mean. And so I thought it would be really cool to just see, kind of almost in real time-ish, how that is going from, you know, first draft, signing, finding an illustrator, all that stuff. So in recapping, in episodes 1 to 3, I talked about the writing process and the structural and line edits. I also answered questions from listeners about my experience as a new writer. And I also work in publishing and I host this podcast. So I kind of am able to see the industry from a number of angles, which is kind of cool, I guess. Thinking about the illustrator, as many of you know, Jules Faber is illustrating this book, and his characters, wow, they were just spot on as soon as he sent them to me, the characters. And once the illustrator gets the characters right, like, everything else is easy from there because, you know, he got the manuscript, he got what I was trying to do, he got the characters. So pretty much what was in my head, but even better, which is a massive plus. He really captured the spirit of characters, the humor and the silliness, while making the characters people that you want to know and people that you like, I hope anyway. The next process was going through on Zoom Jules's roughs and approving or making slight changes to them, depending on the descriptions in the text or what was funnier or how the characters were represented. In the big scheme of things, I think there was sort of 60 to 70 illustrations. Any changes were really minor. You know, it may have been, oh, change dad's caftan to this, or you know, this person has this particular hairstyle, but nothing, nothing major. And I find that my attention to detail is actually lacking, but attention to detail is what matters. So when you are going into these meetings, if you're invited with your illustrator, just paying attention to every single thing, because once it's inked and once it's sent to the designer, it's much more difficult, time consuming and annoying for your illustrator to change it than in that rough Zoom meeting or however you get them. The roughs is where you know, you can make your edits and make your suggestions. I'm not a fine detail kind of person, which is difficult when you're working in publishing, because I really like big picture thinking. So I've had to train my ADHD brain to really focus on those smaller things, which continues to be a challenge. Luckily at Larrikin House, we have the glorious Abby, who checks all of those finer details and is just truly magnificent at finding the smallest error in anything. She'll be like, nope, that's a semicolon, not a comma. And no, look, you're missing a letter here. So she has this magnification brain, and it really complements, I guess, the rest of us working with that big picture. The cover was next, and I just get excited about everything. And then you sort of think a couple of days later, oh, maybe it's not right. So initially Jules drew this fabulous image of all the characters in color And Sarah Moyer, our designer, sent us cover options. But then when they came back and we had a bit of a think about it, the book is so action-packed. Riley, the main character, is continually failing at trying to break a school record. It's been her obsession since kindergarten. And so the front cover just needed to be more than, these gorgeous characters standing there. So we thought we'd put that to the back. And then I had to have a very, wasn't difficult, but I felt bad, conversation with Jules and say, "Jules, I love you, but can we rethink the cover?" So I said to Jules, I wanted a million strings attached to her arms and I wanted balloons up the top. And he said, "I hate drawing lots of balloons and I hate drawing string." So I had to suck up a bit more. And eventually we got this amazing cover, which is on social media with exactly that, all these balloons and all the strings. We didn't know exactly where we'd put the title because the balloons took up that space. So then we had to go, okay, Sarah Moyer, our designer, what do we do here? So I think the process is looking at similar covers, looking at covers that have come before, having a look at the vibe and solving that. So she did a really great job at solving that with, lined paper sort of torn from school books, which is fits really well with Riley and her, because it's mainly set at school, this book. So I think there's really interest it's really interesting. And that scene is quite important in the book. There's a scene where Riley, my main protagonist, ties 600 balloons to her arms and her entire body, in fact, to attempt to break a school record and fly over the school. The balloons pop everywhere and it's a disaster. So we thought in the end that would be a much more fun cover than characters just standing there. And so I think looking at the cover and then getting feedback, which is also really scary, putting it on social media and seeing what people think about it. So the response is really positive. I guess if there's silence, you'd have to go, maybe it's not quite the right cover. It also had a name change. So originally it was How Not To, and I know the publisher and my writing buddy, who I always ask advice from, wasn't quite. We didn't think that was quite nailing the title. So we talked about having Riley front and center. It's often good to have a protagonist name in it. So we ended up being Riley's Fail-Proof Guide to Breaking a School Record. So I'm really happy with the title in the end and the cover. So it was a bit of a brainstorming, to-ing and fro-ing, not knowing what was going to be right. But in the end, I think we got there. So I think that's something you just, I don't know, you hope it comes to you. You hope eventually it will. But I find titles really difficult. But I think we got there in the end. I'm really happy with that. Endorsements is another element you need to think about. Some publishers, I think they just do this for you. We like to give our authors a little bit of freedom in that before we asked in-house. But I'm always really gracious because I don't expect anyone to give me an endorsement. People are busy. People might have already given 100 endorsements this year, whatever. So I always just say, look, I'd love you to give me an endorsement, but if you're busy, I will still love you. And that's absolutely fine. And I'll just, and I said, I don't even need a reason. I don't need you to tell me you're too busy or you're this or that. Just say no, not this time. Thank you. Love you back. But I was lucky this time because the magnificent Tim Harris, not only did he say yes, he read the book and gave me this fabulous endorsement. I don't think there's a much better endorsement than you can get from Tim Harris. So very happy with that as well. Blurbs, oh, they're a bit tough and a bit tricky. How do you condense any book into like a tiny elevator pitch? And not only that, how do you put it on the back that makes the kid want to pick it up and buy that book over, all the other books on the shelf? So it took me a long time to do that. I often get the authors to give me their blurb because they know more than anyone what the book's about. And then as a publishing company, we'll sort of go through that and go, okay, well, what's going to hook the kids? What's catchy? What do other blurbs look like, et cetera, et cetera. So I think they really need to hook the shop in, who's buying them, the department stores, the kids, teachers, et cetera. So a few people have asked me about having an agent, and agency, having an agent is quite new to me. I signed last August with Rochelle from Alex Adset, sort of the dream agent for me. And they currently have four books, two picture books, a middle grade that I wrote for Nano, The Burning, and a junior fiction book, which I loved writing. I really hope someone likes Willow Saves the World or whatever it decides to be called in the end. because it was a book that just didn't come easy, but writing the characters is really enjoyable, and I think it was just a really cool book. So really cool manuscript. So I hope that finds its home somewhere, but we'll see. The Burning isn't middle grade, longer than my others, and maybe my agent needs more time on it. Maybe it's not good. I've no idea. It'd be really cool to get a NaNoWriMo project over the line. Tristan Banks and our little team has gotten his over the line. That was his last book, Scartown. And so the rest of us are looking at trying to push that barrier. That'd be really cool. So we'll see. My Pet Crocodile, or My Pet Croc, don't know what it's going to be called yet, is another JFIC coming out in 2025, along with Epic Dad Extreme, which is out in July. And then we've got Christmas Chaos in 2025. Wow, it seems weird to say 2025. I never know whether to write sequels for Riley's Fail-Proof Guide or My Pet Crocodile. I don't know, because traditionally series, they decline after a while. So I'm not sure if it's just, you know, go hard with your standalone. Not all. I mean, some series go magnificent. I mean, look at The Real Pigeons. That series, it just is, you know, gift that keeps on giving. So I'm not sure, but I think I might just write one. And even if they get nowhere, I feel like it's a really good opportunity to practice your writing. And it's 15 to 17,000 words. And so even writing it, and if it gets nowhere, I'm always a big fan of trying to strengthen, you know, your writing muscles, unless I've got something else sort of burning, which I kind of do. I'm working on an adult novel. If you followed my writing journey at all, I started writing crime novels. I just missed out on being the shortlist for the Banjo a couple of years ago. And so somehow I just sort of moved to kids, and writing kids books is quicker. But I have a short story that's crime coming out in Dark Deeds Down Under 2, which is out this year. And I'm also working on an adult book. It's not crime, funnily enough, but I thought I'd lead into the humour that I'm really enjoying in my junior fiction books. So it's a comedy, sort of, with those, you know, issues that I really find important. I have no idea if it's going to get anywhere, but like I said, I always think that no words are wasted words, because you learn your craft better. Obviously, it'd be amazing if it was published, but hey. We don't always get to control these things as authors. So about 7,000 words in, I think I'm kind of scared, because I know how hard it is to write so that 80,000, 90,000 word book, and running out of steam in the middle, as Holden Shepherd would say, the 50,000 word danger zone. So I'm a bit scared of going in, and I can't plot or plan. My brain does not like that. I've just got to go in and write and see what happens, which is really bad for when you get writer's block. Because you sit in the middle of a manuscript going, I don't know, I don't even know anything anymore. There was a question from Marissa who asked, she wanted to know more about working with Jules Faber. Jules and I have been friends for a long time. He's been, you know, really cool. And I've always loved his work, and he's hugely successful. So I really, really wanted him to illustrate one of my works, sort of collaborate. I like to think it's a collaboration, particularly when there's that many illustrations, because, you know, he brings those characters to life. I had to pitch it to my publisher. Originally, Jules and the publisher met about 18 months before signing, Jules and James, and for whatever reason, it didn't sort of work. So when this time I had this manuscript come out, I said, oh, I really love Jules to do this. So yeah, I got that over the line, and he's super fast. He has his own processes. He just knows his stuff. It's an amazing experience when you're on a Zoom with Jules, because he'll just be like, you'll say, oh, can you just change that and that? And you expect him to do it after the meeting. He just does it on the spot and just whips up a whole new drawing in 5 seconds. It's pretty amazing. So once we talked about the character, minor changes, he was sent the layout from the designer, so he knows what size and what angles, etc., that the designer has suggested to put the illustrations. And I just really wanted Jules' input and expertise. I never tell illustrators what to do, because what do I know? So I just let them do their thing. And when you let them do their thing, it's amazing. So in the Zoom, you know, to approve the roughs, I was just so excited because he'd just done them so beautifully. So after the roughs comes the inks, done, you know, properly. And then they get sent to Sarah, our designer, digitally. And then we do the cover. But it's cool. And it's working with Jules has been easy and fast and inspiring. It's always scary working with your mates, because they're going to be differences of opinions and there's deadlines and things have to get done. You're not always going to agree. But I think as long as you go in with a bit of a sense of humor, you go in open and honest, and you're all working towards the same goal, which is what Jules and I have always been working towards. Let's make this the best book we can. So, you know, we sell bajillions. That goal's probably too high, but, you know, we sell enough to make it worthwhile. And, yeah, just honesty and transparency are key to working with anyone, but particularly friends. And, you know, when you want to cover change, just suck up to them a lot when you need that. So, but yes, Marissa, I hope that answers your question. Working with Jules has been a bloody dream. I hope I get to do a sequel just so I can work with him again. Or maybe I'll just make him illustrate everything I do. Not sure yet. but that is kind of, in a nutshell, what we're up to, episode 4. What I'll do in upcoming episodes for my writing my first uni fiction novel is I will get Jules to come and talk about his experience. He maybe I'm so positive about Jules, maybe he won't be as positive about me. And I'm also going to get James, the publisher, to jump on as well and can talk about the new direction of Larrikin House and what he thought of manuscripts and, you know, how many of my manuscripts he's rejected, you know, all that kind of fun stuff that, you know, he'll tell you all the dirt. And anyone else I can think of that might be interesting to talk about in this process. So if you'd like to hear from someone, or you would have more questions, or you want to know about something else in a bit more depth, drop me a line. Social media is a good place. And we'll answer your question. Yeah, I don't care. I'll tell you anything, because I think this has been really good for me to rethink the process. And if I was right at the beginning of my writing or publishing journey, really, I mean, writing forever, but publishing journey back in 2021, I would have loved to listen to someone else going on a very similar early journey as a new writer. So, yeah, thanks for listening. And I hope it's sort of interesting to give you an insight into the writing, publishing and production of a book. And we can talk about production as well, because there are so many bloody moving parts to that. And it's incredible the amount of time, love, money, hands that go into making a book. So good luck with your writing, and I'll hear from you soon. Ingrid Laguna is a multi-award winning novelist and educator. Her books include Bailey Finch Takes a Stand, one of my favorites, Sunflower, Songbird, and Kit and Arlo Find a Way. Ingrid, you also have a new writing course, Writing with Ink. Tell me all about this.
Writing with Ink. Ink is actually my nickname. And so what I think will work is small classes. And what I think will work is genuine feedback from myself and from the other people's writing peers during the course. I wanted to share the things that I find to be really critical in writing. And that is that it's really hard to finish. It's really hard to persevere when the going gets tough. But all of these things can be done. And I think that if you know these things are important, and you know that it's normal to have self-doubt, and you know that it's normal that even though your idea might be inspired at the start, you are going to hit a point most likely that it doesn't feel inspired anymore. Mm.
Signing up, ingridlaguna.com, and be ready for those courses. Thank you so much, Ingrid, for putting this writing course on for writers.
Thanks so much for having me, Danny B. It's always such a pleasure. I love you.